Hey there, Pod Pals. Are you a print-on-demand creator looking to stay ahead of the curve? You want to know exactly when to launch your designs for every key season and event? How about a chuckle with an extra dad joke to brighten your day? If you said yes to any of these, then it's time to join the Print On Demand Cast VIP list. As a VIP, you'll get our free annual design calendar, an amazing guide to help you time your creations perfectly throughout the year. And of course, we'll include a bonus dad joke each week as well. Signing up couldn't be easier. Just visit printondemandcast.com/VIP and enter your email. Don't let another day of potential pass you by. Become a part of the VIP list, grab your annual design calendar, and let's dive into a year of inspired creating together. We'll see you on the other side.
Radical! Welcome to this week's episode of the Print On Demand Cast. Each week, join the gnarly Travis and Josiah as they provide insight into the print-on-demand industry and equip you with the totally tubular tools, advice, and strategies you need to achieve success and hopefully have a few laughs along the way. Now on to this week's Totally Tubular Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 2-year anniversary episode of the Print On Demand Cast. We made it. And we're excited to be with you live. Do us a favor, if you're here live with us, drop a comment in the comment section. Let us know, say hi, where you're watching from, and we will be sure to shout you out from here and bring your best dad joke. We already told you this, but it was going to be a prerequisite. So with that being said, we're going to start right away. This whole thing is going to be very casual, very conversational, a lot of fun, as it always is with our guest who has been with us at all the milestones, it seems. He was here for the 1 year, and he is back now for the 2-year anniversary of the show. Welcome back to the Print On Demand Cast, Chris Green. Chris, as always, sporting sunglasses and ready to just have a good time, man. Thank you for making time and coming back on the show.
Oh, you bet, dude. Like, thanks. I appreciate the intro, Josiah and Travis. Dude, I think you had short hair when you started this
podcast,
right? But yeah, 2 years, that's like a big deal. That's like a big milestone. Most podcasts, most businesses, most everything to get started doesn't make it 1 year, let alone 2 years. So give yourself some credit for this.
Yeah. Thanks, man. It's pretty awesome.
We talk about it a lot where we didn't really anticipate it going this long. But certainly happy that it has. We've had a lot of fun doing it. So it's good times, man. What's new with you? What is going on in the world of Chris Green? What do you have? What cookie jars do you have your hands in these days, Chris?
I got my hands in like a lot of things, which is like not good because like you can't do too many things, right? So I probably juggled like 20 different things for a while. And then like learned along the way that you can't do 20 different things well. But then there are like some things that are like, I can't let this one go. This one's like really good. So I do have like a main thing with a really cool sub thing that's gotten a lot of popularity I can tell you guys about. Then I've got a hobby thing that is kind of like a secret, but it's just something that I'm excited about. And then I've got my kids who are 13 and 15, and they've kind of found a little niche on Etsy that I'm helping them with. So I'm trying not to be pulled in too many directions, but like that's really good, but they're going to run it. So I'm going to help them with that. And then like what I feel I am best at, I need to spend most of my time on that. Although that does have this cool little side thing that we can talk about today that I didn't expect to get into. And then I have my like, secret hobby project. So if I can just focus on those things and not go down too many rabbit holes and like rabbit trail, like,
right.
I mean, you guys know, I think we're like this whole community that's around the Amazon world, I think has a lot of people who have the shiny object syndrome because they like it. You know, they see something that looks new. And with Amazon, there's always something new, right? But you can get distracted in a bad way, which distracted meaning taking away from your main thing instead of like, hey, this is my free time. And I enjoy spending my free time chasing these shiny objects because, you know, some people enjoy. I personally enjoy that. But you have to balance it and keep it under control. Otherwise, all you're doing is pretending or thinking that you're being productive. You think, oh, I'm doing something that, you know, could turn into something. Technically you're correct, but it's at the expense of what you really should be doing.
Yeah, I think it's important to also to just here at the outset, if you haven't ever met Chris or haven't heard any of the shows with him on it, he's not necessarily just a print on demand guy. He's more, you're more of just an entrepreneurial guy who just does a lot of different things. And some of them happen to be in the print on demand space. Would you, is that fair to say?
I would say I don't like even calling myself an entrepreneur, because entrepreneur has like a better definition. Like, I am not great at building and running businesses. I am great at spotting opportunity. And I've gotten great over the past 20 years of spotting opportunities and using social media and being, you know, members of groups and running events and all these things of kind of helping people kind of find their, I guess, find their niche is one thing, but also find their confidence, help them overcome imposter syndrome. Because everybody can do something. Now, I don't say everybody can do this, is that everybody can do print on demand, even though technically everybody could. It's not a great match for everybody, right? FBA might be a better match. Arbitrage might be a better match. Self-publishing or like, there are so many different things. And since I've been exposed to like practically all of them, I find that I've gotten really good at, if I'm coaching somebody, I'll get them on the right track and get them moving forward. And it's not a, hey, talk to me and I'll tell you how to do FBA. Like, you can Google how to do FBA, but I'll tell you if FBA is a good match for you based on your skills, your strengths, your budget, your location, your goals, like all of these different things. Because not everybody's trying to make $1 million. A lot of people be thrilled to make $500 a month. And that's a heck of a lot easier than trying to make $1 million a year doing something that you might not even like. So that's where like my 20-year journey has kind of taken me at this point.
Yeah, and I would say you're really good at it. I mean, I've known you for... since early days for me in FBA, and you, it wasn't, you had been in it for a while. And I think I met you at your, one of your ScanPower conferences. And that was early days for me. I was, you know, probably only a couple years in. We were getting ready to do the Rocky Mountain Reseller Conference, that, which was where I eventually heard about sublimation and really kind of started me on my print journey. And yeah, it's been an interesting journey for sure. I think, and a lot of the people I knew back then are doing different things. You know, they've opened mattress stores, or they're completely out of Amazon altogether. Or, you know, I mean, the list,
I never followed the
on.
Mattress store thing. Like, I heard so many people I kind of knew, but like didn't talk to on a daily basis. Like, yeah, they're doing the mattress store thing. And I'm like, what is so attractive about this mattress? Like, I never got into it. I don't.
The margins, bro.
The margin. I guess, but unless you really like face-to-face sales and movie match, like if you get that call, you're like, hey, I want to buy a mattress, and you're like, oh, and like you're not happy about it, then yes, you got the margins, but you're not enjoying it, you're not having fun. And to me, that's I made a whole chapter in my book about it, where I do believe people are missing the opportunity to realize that they can make money doing something they like and that they consider to be fun. And I think it's for most people, it's a mental thing. They're like, no, work is something that I don't like to do. I do it because I get paid. You know, maybe you like your job, but you're literally not doing it if you don't get paid. Yeah. Fun stuff, you don't get paid for, because you're going to do it anyway, right? And I would make this the claim. I would put this out there. You can do things that you would like to, you would do anyway and get paid for it. Yeah. But if you don't believe that, then you're really going to struggle kind of getting yourself in. Because even if you kind of start and set it up, internally, you don't believe it. So you will self-sabotage yourself somehow because you don't actually believe it. But say, I've done this long enough, and I know what that feels like because I've been there. But you can you can get out of it. You can change the way that you see things. But I think, Travis, I love your story because you have done so many different things. Mm-hmm. And then you've kind of settled into something that I guess you would say you're good at, you enjoy, it has enough margin to make it worth doing, compared to the things you're doing at the very beginning of like hearing about Amazon and FBA and like all this opportunity to do things. You know, you did the reseller conference, but like I don't think you consider yourself a reseller now. You're just
not anymore, no.
A seller, right? You sell your own stuff instead of having to sell someone else's stuff. And they're all just different ways to have some kind of, you know, online business where you can make money a little bit or a lot, depending on, you know, the products, the skill set, the everything that goes into it. But the opportunities are out there. And again, that's where I think I help people the most, is helping people identify the best opportunity for them, because you're going to be absolutely overwhelmed. Imagine Googling how to make money on the internet.
Oh, I know.
Holy smokes.
That's crazy.
What are you going to do? Like, just how to make money on Amazon or eBay or like, oh my gosh. Like, you'd be absolutely overwhelmed. And I would bet a lot of those things just people don't get excited about. Like, I got back into yard sales, and like, I'm having a blast, right? I bought some baby Jordans for $5. That they, the baby Jordans, who knew? They sell for like 40, 50, 60, 70, yeah. 80, 90 dollars. Wow. And I'm just going to give them to my niece, but like, it's the thrill of the hunt. It's the fun part, right? Like,
yeah.
Is it worth my time? Like, sort of. Like, I enjoy doing it, though. I would do it even if I didn't find anything. I would do it if I don't make money. Most of the times, I don't sell the stuff that I find. I, like, put it in a pile and tell my kids to sell it when they want some money. Because I just like the hunt of it. But I know myself, yeah. And I know there's other people out there that would hate that. Like, oh, my gosh, get up early on a Saturday, go to garage sales, like, have to interact with other people. Like, no, it's they shouldn't be doing that. They can find something else where they don't have to interact with people. Like, print on demand on Amazon, for Pete's sakes, there's zero customer service.
Right.
Yeah. Right? A customer can't contact you if they want to. You can disappear off the face of the earth, and your business is still running. You know, so, like, those are the things. So, like, I feel there's so many options out there that people get overwhelmed. And I don't know, like, even podcasts like this, I think, help people to kind of hear what's out there, hear from different people, different perspectives. And that gives them, you know, the value proposition of like, oh, there's more out there. Thank you, Josiah. Thank you, Travis. Thank you for like telling me about print on demand and sublimation. I didn't know these things existed because yeah. I think yeah. we take it for granted, right? Like, you sure. think, oh, everybody knows how to do this. Like, no, they don't.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we've had conversations in the past, I remember you telling me, like, just kind of reminding me, it's like, you know so much more than you realize, Travis. You said that to me, so much more than you realize. And I've held on to that. And that's one of the reasons we started this podcast or kept going with it, because we do right. realize that we have, you only need to be one step ahead of somebody to lead them. You know, you don't have to be super far down the road, and, you know, you don't have to have all the answers. You just need to have some of them. And then the humility to say that you don't know everything. And that makes, I think that qualifies you as somebody who can lead, you know, somebody who can share what they have and help others, which is what leadership is. It's really just serving others, you know, with what you've learned and the, and sharing some of the pain along the way, you know, that you've yeah. experienced, so that they perhaps don't fall in the same hole that you fell in.
Well, they can learn from your mistakes, which is the exactly. thing. Like, hey guys, I've made this mistake, so don't do it this way. Mm-hmm. Like, and then they don't make that mistake, and they like they have a benefit in their business. They're like, and they look to you. They're like, so they remember Travis. Yeah, Travis was the guy that like, you know, helped me not make that mistake, and like now they're gonna look up to you, you know, kind of forever. It's a similar thing, like what you said, where people, they don't give themselves enough credit for the things that they know. I try to help people by giving them this question. Like, it's whatever they're an expert in. Say, like, you know, I got a guy who's putting out content to be a triathlon coach. He's a certified Ironman coach. He's run like 100 triathlons. And I was like, if someone wanted to run their first triathlon and had a bunch of questions, do you think you could help them? He's like, yeah, of course. I was like, do you get it now? Like, when you first got started, what would you pay to be able to, mm-hmm. to basically hang out in person and ask questions for an hour with someone who has completed 100 triathlons and is a certified Ironman coach? You're like, oh, yeah. dude, I pay a lot of money for that. I was like, that's you.
Yeah.
but he doesn't see it at first. Now he kind of sees it, but it took literally years to see us, which is why I always put out there for people, have patience, because you can mm-hmm. see something. And if you want to believe it, you can't just flip the switch in your head. It takes yeah. time to really change beliefs about how to run a business at home, like what the opportunities really are. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have the wrong ideas in their heads, so they have to, you know, kind of slowly change those beliefs. Because I've seen it. It takes time. It's not just going to happen. But I'll share these examples and these stories so people are like, you know what? I am really good at, you know, kind of just organizing a garage. If you're good at organizing garages, as simple as that sounds, you can give value to people, and you can write a book, and you can, like, you can put out content on YouTube and Instagram. You can search for people who are like overwhelmed with their garage, and you can put out flyers. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
But you're good at anything, but you have to like kind of, you have to get them to see like, wait a minute, I do have value to offer, and get them over the, oh, but someone else is better. Yeah. So what? Who cares? Oh, someone else has already done it. Yeah. So what? Who cares? Like, excuse after excuse. This is like the culmination of like 20 years of like talking to people in this space of like, for Pete's sakes, I see all the problems. So I'm trying to like sum them all up and like put them out there to be like, guys, mm-hmm. this is why you guys are not winning on Amazon and eBay and all these things. You're chasing the wrong things. You have the wrong goals. You think you're going to make $1 million with $100 budget to flip stuff. Like, it, no, get realistic and stop following, like, they call it like hustle porn on Instagram. Mm. Now, oh, yeah. Right. You can always keep hustling. You can keep hustling. Yeah. But you have to have like a real plan. Okay. And there's a lot of plans out there and you can't do them all. I do think people should try a few, right? Like, if you want to try scanning at retail stores, if you want to try online arbitrage techniques, if you want to, you know, try your hand at print on demand, at self-publishing, go for it. And then find the one that suits you best, that suits your goals, that suits your talents. If you want to make $1 million, I would rather sell books than t-shirts.
Yeah.
You can put more value into a book than you can into a t-shirt.
Sure.
You know? Unless you're like Kanye West, of course, you know. But anyway, but
I think people are considering kind of how low the branch is, you know, to get that fruit, and, you know, getting a merch account and putting some designs up. That's a pretty low barrier of entry compared to writing a whole book, or at least I think in people's minds. And I know you've talked about, we've talked about low content books and things like that, and using, big fonts and, you know, some of the tricks, you know, it doesn't, I guess, have to be so overwhelming. But I think when you say, hey, Travis, you should write a book, I mean, that blows me away. That, you know, and it's kind of that, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, you know, one chapter at a time is how you write a book. But still, man, that's intense.
What am I going to say? What am I going to say next? You know, you've already done 200 episodes of a podcast, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Take your top 10 by views, by downloads, by whatever, transcribe them yourself or send it over to rev.com or someone on Fiverr. Like, just get it transcribed. It doesn't have to be perfect. And now you have a book, 10 chapters, and all it is the podcast transcription, right? And at the front of the page, or the, you know, the beginning of the chapter, it's got a QR code that goes to, you know, an unlisted YouTube replay or a link to the Facebook group. Sure. You just have this book that you sell for $20, but now you have something you can give away. You can use as a prize. You can use as like kind of as a prize for people who sign up for your email list, right? Like, hey, sign up for my email list. We're giving away 5 copies of the book today. It's a $20 anchor price on Amazon because it's a book and people expect to pay, you know, sometimes $12, $15, $20 for a book. Costs you nothing, right? It only gets printed and shipped if somebody orders it. You can order author copies for like $2.50. You can even have Amazon ship an author copy to an individual address in 8 different countries. So it'd be like under $6 delivered. And you don't have to touch it. You don't have to leave your house, right? It's all there. And like, you've already got the content. Now, and that's exactly what you said is a barrier to most people where they say, oh, I can't write a book. I'm not Stephen King. I can't write the next Harry Potter. And I'm like, I can't either. That's not the kind of books I'm talking about. I'm just saying, the opportunity is there. And I love the challenge format. I mean, we've done, you know, self-publishing challenges and merch challenges. But like getting that first book published, even if it's a low content, like notebook or journal type product, that helps people with that confidence. They're like, holy smokes, I am a published author. I have a product page on Amazon for a physical product. And when it sells, I don't have to do any work and I'm going to get money. And Amazon's going to like print it and ship it. When people, when that light bulb goes off, when that switch flips in their head, that's a big change. That's like one of the belief changes. They're like, holy smokes, this is powerful. I shouldn't sleep on this. And like, it's been there for a decade. It's been sitting there saying, hey, I'm over here. If anybody wants to stop sleeping on me, because this is a good opportunity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I like. I really enjoy helping people kind of get that little boost. It's almost like getting a hit. Like when you scan something and like, oh my gosh, this book's worth $120. Like, you get that like chemical that goes off in your brain and you want to keep going. That's what I try to do. Like at the end of a challenge, like most people try to do by the end of a challenge, have a clearly defined goal at the end of the challenge. Hey, this is like amazing. And like, Chris Green's the best for showing me how to do this. I'm like, I showed you how to do it for free on YouTube and Facebook, but like, hey, if it took a challenge to finally make you do it, sure. And there's a whole chapter about, you have to pay for things. If they're free, nobody values it. You know?
Yeah.
I've seen it all over 20 years. And I've gotten pretty good at helping people or spot excuses. I'm like, Oh yeah, but I'm not a designer. Well, have you heard of Fiverr? You know, like give me a break. Like, I don't know how to make a cover. Can you Google it? Can you use Canva? Like, every excuse. I don't know. I've known people long enough that I call them out for their excuses now. Like, sure. I'll get a little hard on them. But, you know, I don't do that for, like, you know, somebody new. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but the opportunities are there and the excuses are rampant. But, you know, the ones who get over it, you know, they're the ones who, I mean, you've seen success story after success story, you know, in this space. People who came from nothing and now they're doing, you know, either big numbers in terms of sales or just, you know, having a great time in terms of just the overall success that they're having. They're not trying to make that, you know, $1 million mark and all this nonsense.
Right.
Yeah.
They're trying to have financial security and do something they enjoy. Like, that's what people should be doing, because you can make $1 million and be miserable. Right. Yep. It sounds like, oh, I'd love to be miserable with $1 million. It's like, yeah, I get it. But it's a lot easier to be happy making enough money. And when lots of places in the country, dude, making $100,000, you can live like a king off $100,000in a lot of the country.
Yeah.
And that's very achievable in my mind of doing something you actually like. If you know how to put the pieces together behind the scenes of a print on demand product or building an email list and marketing a podcast, all things that are completely free.
Yeah.
They don't cost any money, but they cost your time. They cost your effort. And another chapter in the book is how people are not willing to do things unless they're getting paid, because they come from a 9-to-5 trade my time for dollars background.
Sure.
And what book are you talking about? Oh, tell us about your book.
It's in the way too long. I was like, it's a really short book. Like, no, it's because everything I wrote, I was like, oh, I'll have to explain this. They're not going to make sense unless I write this. So it kept going back, and I could just kind of add it to everything. So it's definitely kind of overkill. But I tried to call out those excuses of, like, so many people come from that 9-to-5, right? Because to me, writing a book is front loading the work. Like, anything around print on demand, you're front loading the work. You got to make these designs. You put in this time and you're not getting paid. You're getting paid $0 an hour to do those things. But you're working for yourself for $0 an hour. And you're making what's the word that I use? In the
An asset.
You're making a digital asset. Valuable digital asset that can be sold over and over and over again, that you own and control and have trademark and copyright over, that nobody can compete with you on.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to put in the work to do it. And the first one is not going to be the best. Sorry. Your second book is going to be better, you know, and then you go back to the first book and update it and just send the updates to Amazon. And it's all good. But I would I would so much rather work for myself for free, trying to you know, create something of value that I own and control, compared to sitting there and being like, yeah, well, if I'm not going to get paid to work for myself, I'm just not going to do it. I'm like, well, then you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't try to convince people into any of this stuff, because it's a waste of time. But you tell them, you show them what's out there, and the ones that are like, you know what, I can tell he's serious. I can tell he actually enjoys this. This is a great example of something. I like this. I enjoy talking about this. You don't have to pay me to come on your podcast and talk about print on demand and Amazon and FBA. Like, I enjoy it. Not everybody does, right? A lot of people, my family and friends and neighbors, like, oh, will you shut up? Like, they don't care about the stuff that I care about. I just find this stuff fun and fascinating, and you know, I want to share it with people because it's an opportunity. And I know a lot of people hate their jobs. I'm like, you could do this instead, but they don't believe it, you know. And they've got the hangups of the 9-to-5 mindset and the it takes too much of my all of them. And I put all the excuses that I know of in different chapters in the book to help people get over it. But we'll see how many people actually get over it.
I was just going to say, for the audio, the name of your book is The Authorpreneur Blueprint. Is that correct?
Authorpreneur Blueprint. It's on Amazon. It's expensive. But it's basically an all-inclusive course. But you buy the book, you get access to all the course material, the, you know, behind the scenes. Not behind the scenes, but like the video content.
Yeah.
Password protected and unlisted. You get access to all of that through the book. I'm in the process of writing a shorter version of it, just to explain, you know, what I would call the opportunity to be an authorpreneur. Because I think, I mean, that's a great word to describe. Wait a minute, I'm an entrepreneur. I want to start a business, but you're using books as your product, specifically print on demand books, and more specifically, Prime eligible on Amazon in international marketplaces, print on demand books as your product. Right. And your product, it just has to have some kind of value. So what are you giving access to in your book? Is it access to digital content? Is it access to, backlog issues of the podcast. Maybe you only put, you know, your past 3 months of podcast episodes public. Everything else is for members only. And they can become a member of your private community through buying the book or access to a Facebook group or digital downloads. You know, if you're doing print on demand products, hey, get digital downloads. These are editable templates that you can use on this and this and this. You get those through the links that are exclusively found in the book. And that's what you're, that's kind of like the message that I really want people to have is you're giving access. What can you give access to through the printed pages of a book? Because then you take that access, and now you've got this product on Amazon that you're publishing through KDP. It's a little bit like a two-step process in your head to be like, wait a minute. Say it again, really slow kind of thing. But once people get it, they're like, you mean I could offer Facebook group access through a book? And I'm like, yes, I said it like 12 times. But they get it, right? I'm not trying to be down on them. But like it happens. Like they find. I've been saying this for years. Anything you can give access to. And like I say, digital files, downloads, templates. Templates are an easy one in the merch. Merch by Amazon, just print on demand, anything.
Yeah.
Go on Fiverr or Upwork. Find someone to make you editable templates of anything you want. Make political digital assets that people can use for and market it as, hey, the election's coming up, and use all these digital assets to, you know, you can make a Republican one and a Democrat one. I would just put them all together, to be honest. Actually, I'd probably separate them because it'd be easier to market.
Yeah.
But buy one, get one free if you want. Like, who cares? But just, if you have someone else make these things and give you full rights to them, and then you sell them as a digital asset, you could have it on Gumroad. Say, but if you buy the book, I'll give you, there's a 100% coupon code that'll work on Gumroad. And then you're completely hands off, and it's all automatically delivered, and it signs you up for the email list. And it's all these things that none of it's hard, none of it costs money, but it's just complicated enough that people aren't putting these things together on their own.
Sure.
So that's why I like to put information out there and say, like, guys, there's a big opportunity here. It's a little complicated, but it's not anything that you can't do.
Yeah.
But the biggest hurdle is the mindset thing, to be like, is it really work this way? Like, why isn't everybody doing this? And everybody's not doing it because they're sleeping on it. You know, they're making the excuses, but writing a book's too hard. Someone's already done it. It must be too expensive. No. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I say, I don't try to convince anybody.
How many, You're talking about Fiverr, and you're talking about having people do different things for you. And what percentage of this whole kind of process are you having? Are you outsourcing? Are you having virtual assistants, you know, do for you? Is it mostly kind of gig economy where it's just like a one-off task, or do you actually recommend or have you considered, you know, or do you have actual virtual assistants either part-time or full-time working for you on some of the back-end stuff?
I don't have any VAs working for me. I don't think I've ever have, to be honest.
Really?
Wow. And I probably should. I wouldn't call myself a control freak, but I do write every word in my books. I write, right? There's no outsourcing. Mm-hmm. I have hired people off. I've had Design Pickle, and send over like a whole bunch of like design requests that would come back as editable files. I've got one. I haven't released it because I've had other projects going on. But I had them make replica Photoshop images, layered PSD files of every single license plate for every single state, including Washington, D.C. So I have it all here as a zip file. It includes all the fonts. And people could use it for, you know, KDP mileage journals or, you know, if someone has they could take orders on Etsy and say, like, what name do you want on a Wyoming license plate? And then print it on a t-shirt or print it on anything that you want. That's probably something I should hire a VA for, is take all the files and put them into like a kind of a 50 page printable, you know, so you can kind of see what they look like. So the book has like a little more than like one page of like, here's the download link, you know, and put it out there and use it as a bonus. When you join the Authorpreneur Challenge, you get this, and you also get the license plate book and all the, you know, the things. So I have used Design Pickle for that.
I'll take it. I'll use it.
I've used Fiverr for different things. I've worked directly with some kind of higher end artists to say, hey, you know, if you make images like this, like every single week, I will buy them from you every single week. I was doing that with some Trump images for a while when he was still president. Like the Trump with the machine gun and the flag, and he's riding on the tank, and there's like, you know, rockets in the background. Yes, like, yeah. Images like that, right? Like the mm-hmm. higher end, like complicated stuff. And so I had this play and I got like a whole bunch of images. But then I was like, well, if everybody has the exact same image on merch, that's not going to work as well. And I kind of overthought it and I just kind of never put it out there. But these are the types of ideas that anybody can do, right? Like politics isn't going anywhere. It's only going to get, I don't want to say more polarizing, but it's definitely going to be more, in the news kind of thing where people are going to be mm-hmm. talking about it, not just on election years. So if you're going to buy political stuff, you know, so you can sell political stuff. It doesn't matter where you fall politically. You can sell both. You can sell one, mm-hmm. sell the other. Doesn't matter. You can stay anonymous with print on demand products. So, you know, there's opportunities there. So like, I do think people should kind of figure out what opportunity they want and then say, it doesn't make sense. Can I make these images? Cause I talked to a lot of people who have a great, you know, graphic design background, but they're trying to do retail arbitrage cause they've never heard of merch by Amazon. Mm-hmm. So once they hear that and then they wait and then they're like, oh, I can do merch by Amazon. I was like, well, if you're really good, if I were you, I would make some, you know, templates. You could make like border templates for Instagram, you know, video creators. You can make templates for literally anything. If you're a graphic designer, then use KDP to have those products out there that you can use as giveaways. You can send them as gifts to people because I have this physical product. There's just so many things you can do. Mm-hmm. Almost too many, which is why, like, I think helping people one-on-one is the best way. It's just not scalable. That's
sure. Yeah,
that's
sure.
The only problem. But podcasts like this, at least a lot of people can listen in and be like, hopefully some people kind of get the idea like, oh, that makes sense. I want to explore that a little more. And they'll join some Facebook groups. They'll ask a question in the Print On Demand cast Facebook group and, you know, kind of get some advice from people.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Speaking of Josiah.
So let's shout out some of the people in the comment section. We have, so if you're in the comment section, you have to give StreamYard, which is the software we're using, permission to display your name because everyone comes up as Facebook user. So, but that being said, I do know that this is from Fiona Darcy. Chris, this is a avid listener to this show from Australia who is, I don't even know what time it is over there, but she is
early. I think it's exactly opposite. I think it's 8.
So it's, she has listened to every episode a multiple of times, which Travis, I think, mm-hmm. is just incredible. But she says hello and happy birthday to the Print On Demand cast. And she also asked for the link to your book, which we dropped in the comments as well. So it is 9:30 a.m. there in Australia. So it's not quite as early as I thought it would be, but nonetheless,
like a half time zone.
Yeah. So, and if you're watching, we did say last week to bring your best dad joke.
Yeah, that's right. Leave it
in the comment section. She just bought your book, Chris.
Oh, wow.
There's another entrepreneur going all the way to Australia. So that's awesome.
That's cool.
They will print it in Australia and deliver it. That's incredible. They have a printing facility in Australia. So Fiona, thank you for that. And I want to make sure people understand the international opportunity. Even though you're in Australia, you can order author copies for your books in US, Canada, Australia, UK, Italy, Spain, France, Germany? Oh, I didn't put my pinky up. Yeah, so that's 8. 8 different countries. You could do this. It's insane. Like the things that you can do. You don't have to be in Australia and be like, oh, like I can't get the books. Amazon.com doesn't ship all the way over here. Amazon is getting closer to their goal of having every product available to anybody in the world within 2 days or less. And they're doing that by putting print on demand facilities for things like merchandise and books in different countries and continuing to expand. And anybody that uses these platforms just has to upload a digital file once. And now you're available for sale all over the globe. Like it's an incredible opportunity. It's almost too good, which can overwhelm people and kind of prevent them from moving forward. So if anybody is stuck, you know, feeling that overwhelm, you know, there's people, everybody on this podcast, we are here to try to help you guys, you know, move forward with something that works really well for you. So if you have any questions you have, please just reach out and ask. I'm easy to find on Facebook.
So how many books do you have now, Chris, that you've produced, published?
That's not an easy question to answer. I published dozens of books, but like, I wouldn't claim a lot of them as books, as like, these are books that I'm known for, and these are the books that I've kind of thrown out there to see what happens. So I published dozens, but I mean, retail arbitrage, online arbitrage, The Stencil Guide was pretty. So, I mean, I guess I got maybe known for five books.
Okay.
But I made, is this family-friendly show? Fairly family-friendly?
Relatively. Yeah,
relatively.
Okay. When Area 50, remember we're going to raid Area 51? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Years ago? Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was like, all right, this is hot. Everybody's talking about this. I hired two different ghostwriters on Fiverr to write adult-themed Area 51 fiction to see if, like, oh my gosh, look what someone's done, because this adult-themed literature through KDP is a huge, huge market. It's completely allowed, except for the exceptions, where if you have to wonder what the exceptions are, you probably already know what the exceptions are. If you need to look them up, you can look them up. But you can certainly have adult-themed material. It's a big opportunity. So I put these Area 51 stories out there, which both came back like relatively like quality story, like a plot and a character development, all these things I would not have put in there for a very affordable price. And like, I didn't push it or promote it. You know, but I thought maybe someone would see it and they'd like tweet it out and people like, you'd go kind of crazy on retweets and people would buy it because it was only like $6.99. But it didn't happen. I don't regret the time spent on it, but it was, I'm going to take the time to kind of cook this pasta a little bit and see what sticks to the wall. And that's the piece that most people forget. They're not willing to cook the pasta. They're like, let me throw this dry pasta against the wall. Let me just ask my friends if they would buy
Area
51 adult themed book. And they're going to say yes or no, but like, you didn't actually do it, so they can't buy it because you didn't cook the pasta, right? You got to cook it a little bit. You got to spend the time. You got to be willing to say, yes, this time that I put into this, the money I sent to those two Fiverr authors was wasted. And I don't consider it completely wasted, because here I am. I'm able to talk about an example of something that didn't work with KDP, and people can listen in. They can be like, oh, Chris Green actually knows what he's talking about because he's actually done all these things instead of just talking about it. So I don't consider it completely wasted. You know, would I go back in time and do it again? Honestly, I probably would, but then I'd like actually promote it. I'd be like, there is kind of I thought the upside was worth it for the downside of the time spent, right? And I think that's what people need to like stop and think. Okay, what's the potential reward for the risk?
Sure.
And a lot of people aren't willing to take any risk, you know. But like, the big rewards are out there from like, these aren't big risks. Like, you got like tightrope across like a river and like over like, crocodile stuff. Like, no, this is the risk of like spending your time doing something that's not making you money. That's kind of what the risk is, right? Learning about these things, reading books, like watching educational videos instead of entertainment videos. That's the risk, and that's the risk people aren't willing to take.
Sure.
Yeah, come on, guys. You got to take some risks here and try to upload some kind of book to Amazon and see what happens.
Sure.
And if nothing else, you'll learn the process. You'll be like, wow, that actually was really easy. You know what? What else could I publish? And now you've got that bug of like, I like doing this. This is interesting. And then you kind of join this little world that we have of like Amazon sellers and hustlers and entrepreneurs, instead of the get home from work and like, what am I going to watch on TV until I go to bed world? Which, hey, that's what people want to do. They're welcome to do it.
Sure.
But the people who want a little bit more, people are like, you know what? I don't want to just, you know, look back at my life and realize that I watched Breaking Bad 18 times. Which Breaking Bad's great. I watched it once, but like, I'm not going to watch it again. You know?
Right.
I don't know. We're going into weird territory, because some people will be like, I like watching it more than once. And I'm like, hey, do it. You do you. Like, if that's what you like. But if you're complaining about not knowing how to make money on the internet, then this advice is for you. Right?
Right.
It's for the people who are like, I don't know how to do it. Well, you listen to this, hit rewind, listen to this podcast again.
Yeah.
This specific episode. If you didn't, you know, listen to it 3-4 times.
That's awesome.
Like Fiona.
Yes. Like 3 or 4 or 5 times.
Yep.
But we have some dad joke submissions here in the, in the comments. So I guess we can just go to the weekly dad joke. We'll read off what we got and see who the winner is. So here we go.
Time for the weekly dad joke.
All right. So where did it go? There it is. Why did the dolphin cross the ocean? Anybody?
Chris? Yeah, I was just going to say, Chris, you're going to be the judge. So you're the final. You're the final.
Do you guys always disagree? Like, I'm the tiebreaker or what?
No, we're going to give you these It looks like there's three dad jokes. You have to pick a winner because we're going to give a t-shirt to one of them.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I had some, I'm looking back for like a dad joke, but now I can't find it.
Yes, let us know your dad joke as well.
We'll see if I can find one.
We'll pull out.
All right, so this is the first one, the dolphin one?
Yes, it says, why did the dolphin cross the ocean?
All right. I don't know. Why did the dolphin cross the ocean?
To get to the other tide.
I mean, it's technically a dad joke. Like, it lacks a little spice, you know? It needs, like, a little, like... I mean, it's leading the pack, but, like, it's only because it's the only one there.
Yeah, yeah. All right. The next one from Caitlin. That one was from Fiona. She bought your book. She'll return it if you don't give her the shirt, too, probably. This is from Caitlin. She said, people think grass don't be wet in the morning, but it do.
I like that one. It do.
Yes.
I like the phrasing of it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. All
right, I like that one.
All right. Well, so we have
that, two. That one's in the lead.
Okay, we have two more.
Sorry, Fiona.
It's Fiona and Kate or Fiona and okay, here's one from Linda. Which bear is most condescending? A pan, duh.
Panda condescending. I mean, that's got like a kind of a two level joke.
Yeah, it's multifaceted for sure. Yeah, I don't know. So those are the contenders right now. That's three between Linda. You gotta,
go ahead, give Fiona her other one since she wasn't in the running with her first one.
All right, okay. Here's the other one from Fiona. Let's see. It says, how do you stay warm in an empty, cold room? Any guesses?
I'm not going to get it.
All right. You go and stand in the corner where it's always 90 degrees.
Mm. That's like really accurate.
It's a geometry joke.
Like, there's no mistaking that one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so there are your four. You got the dolphins crossing the ocean to get to the other tide. People think grass don't be wet in the morning, but it do. How do you stay warm in a cold, empty room? You go to the corner where it's 90 degrees. And which bear is the most condescending? A panda. Which one's going to get it, Chris?
I got to give it to the condescending panda bear, because I feel like if I gave it to Fiona just because she bought the book, that wouldn't be fair. So as much as I want, I think we should give her one anyway.
Well, believe it or not,
I'll send her one of your t-shirts.
Believe it or not, I think she's already got some, so I don't think she needs any more.
yeah, I don't think she's too upset. Everyone's a winner here.
They were all not terrible.
That's the idea behind a dad joke.
What's your dad joke, Chris? Let's hear what you have for everybody.
I couldn't find the best one that came through, but one did come through saying, "Hey, I just found out that I'm colorblind. It came out of the purple."
wait! I scrolled. There it is, and there's the one.
Mm. Yes. Did you hear? I don't. I actually was sharing one a few weeks ago on the show, but it's kind of in that same vein, Chris. You heard about the Staples employee that was actually fired because he was like stealing ink, a ton of ink, just ink and ink and ink. He was caught magenta handed.
Mm.
Yeah.
No.
I thought that was going to be like a real story. He was like selling it on like through FBA and got busted.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that could have been a true story. Like, I was like, "Is this like joke based on a true story?" Like,
yeah,
that's how we
some sellers. That's where they get their inventory.
The cast.
Do you guys remember like the early days of Facebook groups and people were always talking about like price tankers and someone undercut me?
Yeah,
I was like, bros, some people out there literally steal their inventory, right? So yes, they have a lower buy cost than you and they can undercut you. And no, there's nothing you can do about it. If it's priced low enough, you ought to buy it all and sell back.
I never thought, for whatever reason, that thought never occurred to me that people were just stealing their inventory, and that's why they could have a lower buy box cost. But now that you mention it, I feel like that'd be more common than you would think.
It's either they stole it or they're willing to take a loss on it. But whatever it is, it's outside of, you know, the seller's control. But you know, those are the things that, like, you have to be like, hey, I don't know how they're doing it. It really looks from where I'm sitting that they're selling at a loss. So either you decide to stop competing on that product, or you wait them out, or you buy them out. Especially if you're a reseller, like if you're competing with other resellers, you generally have limited inventory. Like when it's gone, it's gone. You have to get on to your next product, which is why I like people jumping from the reseller kind of model to a seller model where you have your own products, or you have exclusives or things you can actually control. And you're not just always at the mercy of, you know, Walmart's clearance schedule and things like that.
Sure.
Because you can get lucky. You can go to Walmart and make $5,000.
Yeah.
If you're there at the right time.
Been there, done that.
Quit your job.
Because
you go there next month.
Next month, like, you're not going to make $5,000.
Hey, right. Where's all the clearance stuff? Like, dude, you bought it all.
You
last
bought
month.
It last month.
We don't just always have that. Like, Walmart is losing money when you do that.
Yeah.
I wish I had knew how much money I cost Home Depot. Because, I mean, it's millions. Not that, I mean, millions is much to Home Depot. You know, they're like $100 billion in sales. But it was a lot. Yeah. I mean, I was buying stuff so under retail. And again, a lot of that was funded by the vendors, or they'd have corporate promos or store level, you know, markdown budgets and all these things. So, like, it's not like they were literally losing money. But the amount of discount of retail that I got, because I used to be a vendor, right? So, like, I could go in and look at the cost, like what Home Depot was paying for some of these things. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're paying $350 for these, and I'm buying them for $99. But hey, they were happy. They did not, like, turn my credit card away.
Right.
They
just
run it.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say congratulations to Linda. Linda won our dad joke competition. Linda, if you'll reach out to Josiah or myself with which shirt you want on the website.
Yes.
You know, color, size, design, and then obviously give us your address and all of that stuff. We'll get one out to you ASAP. Chris, I wanted to actually kind of circle back. At the beginning of the show, you talked about several things that you have your hands in, and then one that was kind of like a surprise thing that kind of came out of one of the things. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what that's all about?
Yeah, it's not like super secret. It's just not like out there as like a polished product, and certainly not something I'm known for. But when I do my, you know, authorpreneur challenges, or when I teach people at KDP, you know, I generally say, look, you should be using your book as a marketing tool. You should have some kind of call to action in your book to come back to a Facebook group, come back to a, you know, web address where you can build an email list, like all of these things, like kind of second level. Like, yeah, you got a book out there, but like, let's actually build a business with it and have an email address or email list that you own and control. So having that means you need to have a landing page of some kind, right? Now, I am a little vain on wanting like good domains, like a short domain or an easy to say domain. I mean, your print on demand cast domain, I'm kind of jealous of. Like, how did I not think of that?
It's pretty
like, it was sitting there for a while, right? I was like, oh, yeah. Like, print on demand was out for years before you guys started your thing. And like, so, but it's good that you guys have it, because I would just be sitting on it. So, but having a good domain is valuable, right? Like it can signal a level of professionalism. It can signal like a level of like, you're in this for the long haul and not just some like random, you know, domain. So I always do a kind of a little segment on, okay, here's how to buy a domain. If you've never bought one, it's not hard, but this is how you do it.
Yeah.
And like a little, I usually do like, here's a place where you can get one page websites, which is usually all that you need, or just forward your domain to something like your Linktree landing page, or there's like 12, there's more than 12, there's probably dozens of them, like kind of landing page, what do they call them? Like link and bio aggregators, whatever it is. So you can have multiple links, a link to your book, you know, email me, you'll join my email list, you know, all these different things on one page, completely free, right? And your domain for $8 a year can just forward there. Then you can put the domain on your book, on the cover, on the back cover, whatever it is. And people always eat this up. They're like, this is so cool. I didn't know anything about domains. And like, I show people how to go to auctions and find expiring domains. They can say, hey, this one's expiring and I really, really want it and it expires in like a month. So maybe I'll wait on it to see if it actually expires. And then here's where it's going to go on auction. And like, here's how you place bids. And you can get some really good domains if you just know where to look and are a little bit patient and are willing to spend more than the minimum $8. I mean, I got a whole list of like valuable domains. And then I sold two domains last August, not intentionally. I don't consider myself like a domain kind of reseller or anything, but for significant money. And like they sent me these offers. I was like, really? Fine. I'll take it. Let's see if they actually close kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they both closed. Wow. And I was like, wow, this is, and the marketer in me, right? You guys know, like I'm like marketing is probably my favorite part of all this, is like, ooh, I just sold and I'm not, but this isn't like a flex, but this is the honest truth. I just sold two domains for a total of $100,000 in 1 month. Now, I didn't sell 100 grand in domains any other month ever. Okay. Like for full transparency.
Wow.
But the fact they were both in 1 month is amazing marketing. Like, hey guys, I don't even know what I'm doing, but I sold 100 grand. I sold six figures in domains in 1 month last year, and I got the receipts to prove it. Right. Wow. So I'm making sure to because I want to have like, the way this came about is I wanted to make this kind of domain kind of bonus book or bonus mini course to go along with the Authorpreneur Challenge. Cause that's, I really like the Authorpreneur stuff and the KDP stuff. When I told people about this, everybody's like, tell me about the domains. I want to learn more about domains. I'm like, for Pete's sakes, I guess I'll make like a whole product for you guys. Like it's all there, but I don't want to present it as a, like an income monetary, like a money-making thing. Right. That's not how I would present buying and investing and listing domains for sale. But I would present it as, hey, if you listen to my advice, you can put yourself in a great position to pick up some domains that are often underpriced or have never been registered before and put yourself in the position to have them for sale to the right buyer and hopefully get a big sale in the 4, 5, 6 digits. I can't guarantee any of that will happen, but you can't put yourself in that position if you don't start buying some domains, if you don't know where to look, if you don't know some of the tips and tricks of like, I no one's in this space, which is kind of weird that I'm kind of stumbling into it, but it's not a place where I will be permanently. But I would like, I'll make this kind of standalone product that I'll use as a bonus for anybody that joins the Authorpreneur Challenge. You also get my amazing domain course and, you know, that's my plan for that. But the 90% of the attention and the interest that's coming in right now is for the domain stuff. So, but I am trying to be very careful and not present it as like, hey, listen to me and you'll make 100 grand in a month. No, you absolutely will not. But you can get the confidence to buy some domains and put yourself in a good position. And that's my goal for domain stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Linda, the
crazy
winner,
though, right?
Yeah, it is crazy. The winner of the t-shirt says, Linda, I have become a domain collector. I need to actually work on selling them now.
That's like a whole chapter right there. Yes, you can collect. But if they're not available for sale, if they're not listed, then people who want them, they're not going to be able to like reach out and contact you. So list them for what you're happy with. And if you get an offer, like if it's out there, you can accept offers. So then you get an offer and you can like go back and forth and you know, be willing to sell. They're like the original NFTs. Right, it's a digital product. It's unique. It's the original NFTs. And I bought my first domain in 1999. I'm doing over 20 years. I used to have like I think 350 was That's the most crazy. Domains I had at one time, but I'm trying to get down under 200.
Wow!
How many domains do you guys have? You must have more than just Print on Demand Cast.
Not, I mean, for Print on Demand Cast, no, that's it. I have probably, I don't know, 10 of them, but they're all like doing something or have done something. It's not, I'm not collecting them or anything like that.
Do you have TravisRoss.com?
No, I tried to get it. You can go there and there's some guy, I think he's in Indiana or something. He's like a doctor or something. I don't know, but yeah, couldn't get that one. Very sad. You're going to go there, aren't you? You're literally Googling or going to TravisRoss.com.
No, I was looking up Rossum, like with a .me at the end, but someone has that. Because you went by that, right? Like Rossum?
Yeah. Yeah, Rossum.
But see, that's like a little trick. You can put like M-E on the end. So I did this with my son's domain. His name's David. So I got him the domain vidgreen, V-I-D-G-R-E-E-N. And I set up an email for him, d@vidgreen.com. So it basically spells davidgreen.com. Like a little bit of a hack, because David Green's a common name. I can't get davidgreen.com. Probably the most expensive domain I ever bought was chrisgreen.com. I had to buy it from the original Chris Green, who registered it, who happened to live like 45 minutes away from me, like coincidentally. So we went and did the deal in person, because like, how do you transfer and like, you know, escrow and like, here's a check and all this stuff.
Yeah,
but it's, I don't know. We said this at the beginning. Like, I would say that I'm good at spotting opportunities, and there's opportunities with domains, and it might be something that people find a lot more interesting than scanning barcodes at Target.
Yeah,
right. Now, some people love scanning barcodes at Target. They should do that. They should not stop doing that to come learn about domains, and then it all goes right over their head.
Yeah. Right.
But I think people should be. I think people should know at least a minimal about domains. I've heard people are being specific with their child's, like their new baby's names, based on if the domain is available.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Wow. That's nuts.
That is crazy.
Because they snag it, you know, they start snagging social media handles, even though like they can still be using Twitter in like 16 years or Facebook in 18 years. But you know, you can snag some of these things and hold on to them.
Yeah.
Get this. Dot green is an extension. So I have Chris.green, I have Abby.green, I don't have David.green. That's another guy that has that one. I think I got Jen.green. Dot green is more expensive than .com to renew every year.
Sure.
I haven't set it up, so I could be Chris at Chris.green. But
that's awesome. I had the thought a couple of years ago about collecting domains. I just didn't know where I could potentially list them. So I have mine. I have JosiahCFuentes.com. I have that one. But, you know, a couple of years ago, the governor of Colorado said that if you don't wear a mask, you're a selfish bastard. So I bought selfishbastardclub.com. And I was like, I could do something with this, because I think it's funny that he said that. So I didn't know what to do with it. Like, I didn't know if I were to sell it. I was like, I'm just going to hold on to it. And then it lapsed, I think, I don't know, like in January of this year or something like that. So
I would let it go at this point. Like at the time.
Yeah, at the time it would have been.
I would have put up a one-page website that had a Selfish Bastard print-on-demand t-shirt, whether it's a merch by Amazon listing or a listing you guys would print and ship yourself, just to see if it takes off, right? Yeah. And have like a little MailChimp thing at the bottom. Sign up, you know, hear about new demands, or sign up and potentially win, you know, a t-shirt. And you know, it just might take off, like a blog or a group or some podcast might just talk about it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, it maybe doesn't make $1 million, but maybe it makes you like 12 grand in t-shirt sales, right?
Sure.
Just because you're there to quickly, and that's part of the domain thing, right? Like when something happens, what domains are available, right? Like I could have bought TrumpRaid.com, but I saw it and I was like,
wow.
You know, I don't even want to touch it. I didn't want to touch it. Yeah, and then I refreshed like 5 minutes later and it was taken. Like I knew it was taken, but I didn't want it. And I looked up defundthefbi.com today, which I should have looked it up like a week ago. It was actually registered in 2020. Wow. So someone was talking about defunding the FBI.
Defund the IRS.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Defund.com, I think, is actually available for like $6,000, which in my opinion is underpriced. I'm not interested in buying it, but to have a one word dictionary word that's being used a lot these days for $6,000, that would actually be a good pickup if it's in somebody's budget. In my opinion, of course, you know, people can have different opinions. But I'll give people a link if they want it. Well, you guys can put a link if you want. Let me send you guys
do whatever.
Quick. Yeah. It's my favorite domain name search tool. It's called instantdomainsearch.com. It's just my favorite. There are other ones. You know, they do have like commission based things. So if one's available and you want to buy it and you go to GoDaddy, there's some kind of, you know, like referral system they have. They probably make like a quarter. So that's how they do it all for free. But you can find all the different extensions. Like I like .io, I like .co. Those are actually the domains that I sold. I sold sell.io for 65 grand and merch.co for 35 grand, like randomly back to back, right? They had nothing to do with each other. They just happened to be in the same month. But I missed my merch.co. That was a good domain.
But that's cool.
I bought it for $1,500. So 1,500 to 35 grand. Yeah. I'm not losing any sleep over not having it. You know, in the future, I'll probably regret it. Like, oh, it'd be worth more now. But, you know, whoever, the people who bought it, they put up a great looking merch website. So,
yeah,
I'm glad they got That's something wild. That they like. But, yeah, there's potential upside with, you know, I would say minimal risk. I know we're taking the show long, but like minimal risk. I call it a cheap bet. Register a domain, $8 for a year. Maybe something happens. Maybe it takes off. Maybe, you know, it ends up being worth it. If not, let it expire. It's $8. People waste $8. A lot more than $8. A lot. Right.
Yeah.
This is $8 cheap bet. Something might happen. You know, I actually owned Trumpeach, Trumpeachment, and Trumpeached.com for a while. Nice. Which I registered before he even like announced. I was like, oh, for Pete's sakes, if he actually gets the nomination, he's definitely going to get impeached at some point. So I grabbed him. But because of like the Trump name, like GoDaddy wouldn't list them. I put them on Flippa for a while, and like I think whenever Trump was impeached, like the, or both times, the media never called it the Trumpeachment, which is what I was like. They gotta call it the Trumpeachment, yeah. Right? Like
this opportunity.
Is no politics involved, guys. This is just like the sell T-shirts. So yep. Then, like, I just said, forget it. I just let them all expire. So I'm sure somebody just snatched them up just because they were expiring. A lot of people just. If it expires and they think it has something, they'll register it. Like, I let it expire on purpose. I didn't want to mess with them. Right. But I mean, with all the stuff that's happening in politics, guys, just pay attention. If something right. like kind of sounds interesting, go to instant domain search, see if it's available, place your $8 bet and see what happens. Right there. There are worse ways to spend $8 in my opinion. I'll do a whole other show about domains.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Very fascinating. And something that would be, awesome to learn more about because, again, I hear things in the political space all the time, and I'm like, that would I should scoop that domain name up, do yeah. something with
and
it,
then, or list and then it for sale. For us, you could throw a deco store on there, Josiah, and just, you know, tweet it out a couple times and see
yep.
see what happens, and people stumble forward
into a Shopify landing page, or you can do anything you want.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah.
You can do it pretty fast easy to, and quick and cheap.
Yeah.
Like,
it'd be pretty easy to take advantage of some of the tools that we have, you know,
yep.
with our print on demand stuff that just goes right into our production. Ooh. If somebody actually does buy.
You know what I should do? That's all right. So I'll put you guys in the domain course in some like as a one page. Look, if you're just making a one off product.
Yeah.
Contact these guys. Right. They can.
We'll give you a link that they can. They can sign up for a store, and then we have all the videos. Josiah's done all the videos to like say, yeah. Here, this is how you list the thing, you know, get your design, yep. boom, it's you have a website and you tie in your domain to it, you know, all of that stuff can be done relatively quickly.
Yep.
Could you put a MailChimp JavaScript on an individual Shopify page?
Well, we're not talking Shopify. We're talking using one of our. It's called.
Oh, you got like your total own landing page.
Yeah, it's and then you tie that and you can actually have that brand. You know, it can be printondemandcast.com can be a merch page basically in Deco,
right.
And I think you probably could create some type of a box that had a email capture as well.
Yeah, yeah, they have that. They've got
that would be useful. Yeah, someone comes along like, hey, but I. Here's the product. Here's the email list. Like, you could literally do this in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? No, let's talk a little bit more about that as I kind of work on this kind of domain thing. It's the same type of thing. It should be a short course, but I have to explain what a domain is. I have to explain what the who is. I have to... And I make my courses almost too thorough. But it works because, like, if you actually read the book and watch the videos, you don't have any questions at the end. Like,
sure.
I cover... everything. So yeah, unfortunately, so sorry, Fiona, the book is really big. You don't have to read all of it to get the gist of it. But it covers everything. Any stumbling block you might have, this will show you how to get over it, get past it, get through it.
That's awesome.
So, Chris, why don't you just take a second and shout out some of your, you know, your socials and whatever. I know it's all Chris Green, but
I have easy to find.
How can people? Yeah, how can people get a hold of you?
My two main websites, of course, chrisgreen.com and domain that I bought after I sold those domains, authorpreneur.com. It was available for sale. I sent them an offer that I didn't think they'd take, and then they took it. I was like, great, love that domain for that price. So yeah, authorpreneur.com and chrisgreen.com. I'm authorpreneur on Instagram. I'm authorpreneur on TikTok. I'm authorpreneur on YouTube. I'm easy to find. I'm facebook.com/chris, for Pete's sakes. Like, yeah, you can find me if you need to look. And I'm in your group. Just tag me in your group if someone has a question.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure we'll do this again sometime.
Oh, yeah.
3 years.
100%. Yeah. So Linda said that she would love a whole show about domains. So perhaps we will have to.
That's what I'm like. Yeah. That everybody wants to talk about domains, which, hey, I'm happy to. I have a lot. I realize I have a lot to offer about domains, even though it's not what I'm known for. But sure, we can talk domains.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be super cool. Once you get your course finished, you know, that'd be great to have you back on. You can, you know, talk about that and then promote that to our listeners. I'm sure they would eat that up.
Yeah.
We'll do a giveaway, right?
There we go.
We'll give away some books and courses.
Yeah.
100%. Awesome.
That'd be fun.
Chris, thanks again for taking time and hanging out with us here for the last hour for the 2-year anniversary of the show. It is the birthday of the Print on Demand cast. Everyone's having a good time. That's enough. That's enough celebration. But yeah, thanks again so much for coming on, and we will connect soon. I'm excited to learn more about domains because it intrigues me. But yeah, thanks, man, for coming on.
Sounds good. Congratulations on 2 years, guys.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Everybody, thank you guys so much for watching along with us and interacting with us for the dad jokes. Again, Linda, let us know, what size of shirt do you want? What design do you want? What color do you want? There's so many options. Yes, you can let us know. And we'll be happy to get you that shirt. And as always, if you're not listening to this live, you missed out. And the best way to get to the action, to know what's happening, is printondemandcast.com/Facebook. That is how you find these things out. That's how you join the conversation. That's how you tag Chris in a post with a question to get his attention about domains or books or authorpreneur, or see if you have an excuse he hasn't heard of and have him come up with a response to it. You know what I mean? Like, that's how you get the interaction with all of us and join the community and join the conversation. And as always, wherever there are podcasts, the POD cast is there for you. Stitcher, Apple, Google, Spotify, Anchor, all of them. There's so many of them now. So find us, like, subscribe. And as always, if you have time, leave a 5-star review and let us know what you think of the show, what you thought of the 2-year anniversary. Give us a dad joke. Whatever you want, write it in the box. As long as it's got 5 stars, we'll pay attention. That's usually the deal. But thank you guys so much for joining us. And we'll see you next time right here on the Print on Demand cast.
See ya.
Hey, babe, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Print on Demand cast. We hope you enjoyed the Totally Tubular Show. If you got a question or a suggestion for the show, send Travis and Josiah an email at info@printondemandcast.com. Want to be wicked nice? Take a minute to rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe now so you don't miss next week's episode. See you next time for sure.
In a world where businesses everywhere are trying to make print-on-demand sales, one podcast goes above and beyond every week to bring the most POD-specific information there is, all to help save the day, every day. Don't succumb to the enemies of your print-on-demand business. Sign up today for the Print on Demand Cast VIP email at printondemandcast.com/VIP. This time, it's for real.